301.
Communication gadget, but going to have food. See, they don't pass the test, but man. Hey, Babu, ciao.
My sense is that there's been a healthy tension between Centex, DOT, and National Treasury on this issue. It represents a measure of internal checks and balances within government administration. But I think my concern and the concern of the committee is that this tension is now going on for what, closer to 4 or 5 years. That's an unhealthy situation. Of course, there will always be competing interests, differences in perspectives, views on strategic approach, etc. But if the tension continues for a prolonged period, then I think this reflects a degree of policy incoherence, possibly on the part of the executive. It also results in a form of paralysis. And certainly, in our engagement with Centex previously, they do feel that they experience a kind of paralysis. They can't move forward. And as a result, they are frustrated and disabling people, etc. But that's not in the public interest. And I think in this week, at least the media standoff between Centex and National Treasury. It happens, but I don't think it's something that we can be proud of. But our view is that government officials must be guided by the principles of cooperation and coordination, effective coordination. So it's a matter of concern to us. I think we are also not comforted by the fact that this thing could result in a public spat between members of the executive. And they could possibly be trading political insults. And I think that must be a problem. And Parliament doesn't want to be inside. So I think the meeting is timely. And we certainly have not prejudged the issue to none of them. Receiving you this morning, although we had dinner with Centex, but we have not discussed the issue. We want all the arguments to be put before us, all the facts to be on the table, so that as members of Parliament we can take an independent view of the matter. But ultimately, I think we want to see the beginning of a process of resolution. We have to resolve whatever the dispute is or differences. We must begin to establish common purpose, a shared strategic perspective on the future of Centex. And I think today, at least from Parliament's side, we hope we can achieve it at the beginning. It might take us a few months from now, but I think we can find each other. So that's really how we're coming at the Centex. And we're hoping we can achieve the independence of all sides. Up until now, I don't think myself, I haven't had a benefit of. So those few issues I could comment, I'd like to again welcome everybody. And oh yeah, last comment. I mean, we really don't need the business day to tell us how to do it. Linda? I was quite interested in the editorial that you had. I thought it was the slightly business day of editorial. Shows are very blanky, or at least government very blanky. Surely, as the government, we can talk this thing. We don't need the person to keep the line on the head. Okay, then take over to you, Chairperson, and help me.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to that we have to present you today. What we have prepared is presentation on the basis of the agenda that you provided for us, and various interests in respect to your opening remarks. I would like to ask you to go into detail what you want to do later on. But since you have just been on the way of life, and just to explain that was not a women's centre to get involved in it. It was as a result of an investigation that was done on behalf of government into the future of the company. And the finding of that study in the report was that the provision of signal distribution funding in the future was not going to be vulnerable for the company, but the entry into that. There are things that we can enlarge on, but what I really want to say is that it's unfortunate that some of the things have happened, which perhaps have resulted in the lack of communication or the lack of sufficient communication. To reiterate again, that we don't want to deal more with any element of our shareholder, which is government, and of which Treasury and CIC form a part. Happily, we will answer questions in relation to issues that we have at a later stage, but I think in the meantime, it would be appropriate just to introduce previous SST, let them make the presentation, and any queries in the last to come afterwards. We will deal with presenting to you today, mostly on the basis of going forward and not dealing with too many issues in relation to the question. The Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Sylvester Mwani, is on my left. Our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Steve Sasson, next to her. Chief Operating Officer, Daniel Nguyenia, is next to me. And then we have Mr. Bingani Dube, Secretary and Government Affairs Member, and Specialist Stakeholder Relations, Mwani and Redley. I leave it to them to make the presentation to now.
in there for you to make the company happen. When you look at it, you say, well, you can't just sit and do nothing. Let you get other alternatives. It has been made clear to us that we cannot get an equity budget. The government had indeed looked at that and supported, but then decided that it could not sort of target that because of its specific and so that was put aside. We came up with a business plan which essentially was a build of the training shop, which combines again both retail and wholesale, and the intent was to reach out to both avenues and the other. In the process, we engaged Decathlon, they're a world-renowned telecom consultancy company. They assisted us with analyzing the business plan, fine-tuning and all of that. On the basis of that, we were able to secure funding, and then to be the large portion of it, over 900 million, was to be secured with our government guarantee. But the structure was not approved. The structure was not approved, so we have to shelve that.
Oh, thank you. The structure was not approved, so we again had to shelve this business model. In 2007, we again engaged our shareholders, that is the Department of Communications and National Treasury. We were advised to really stick with wholesale and wholesale only. We developed a business plan which combined a rollout strategy for both urban and rural. It also included the rolling out to schools, hospitals, clinics, to some post offices and government offices in line with our government's apex of priority. This is essentially where we are because it was the 2007 business model. I will ask Beverly to take us through the next slides in terms of a little more detail in terms of our strategy. And then I'll ask the CFO to deal with the numbers.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. As the CEO has mentioned, our rollout strategy really speaks to rolling out in both rural and urban areas, and our target customers and market is represented. We're looking to provide services to banks, specifically ISPs and other various service providers. TTN, the public sector, as the CEO has mentioned, and others such as Resolve, etc. Taking you through what we had envisaged in terms of the rollout phases. Phase 1 and Phase 2 essentially covering most urban areas and underserved areas within the urban areas, as well as secondary towns, including the underserved areas in these towns. We're looking at doing Phase 1 and Phase 2 in Year 1. Phase 3 and Phase 4 are Year 2 rollout areas, places of interest, border posts, etc., as well as deep rural areas. Phase 5 is meant to be capacity sites as and when it's required.
Morning, Chair. Chair, this is basically the broadband wireless income statement of the business plan that we've done. We've been very conservative in our approach to drawing up these numbers, and we've also kept the price with no escalation to absorb inflation in this business plan. This business, this income statement has no regard for debt funding because we we were hoping to get funding from the system. And as you can see, from 2013, that is in year 6, it becomes cash flow positive. And it is also the revenue growth, it's a steady revenue growth over the period. If you go to the next slide, we put it into a graph, and you can see the cash flow trend on the green line, and the blue bars that are going into negative are looking at funding from the fiscus for the first 5 years. Thereafter, the business plan is self-funding, and it also takes into account the coverage in rural and in urban areas, and it has a level of cross-subsidization into it to cover the total population. But if you look at our capital requirements, the total capital requirement for this business plan to succeed is 4.4 billion, of which the fiscus only requested to fund 3.125 billion, and it hasn't taken into account any debt funding. We've picked a price per customer of 100 rand for wholesale customer and for the normal wholesale customer, and 75 rand for the public sector. As I've mentioned earlier, it is cash flow positive from year 6, and it also supports Centex profitability in total after year 6. If we've done a combined income statement for the business, the existing business and the broadband wireless, under the taking into account the assumptions we've taken of 100 rand per connection, 75 rand for the government sector, no escalation in price, when we come up with this income statement, the combined business improve Centex as an organization from year 6, because as you know, Centex has been underfunded and has been in cash flow dire straits for a long time. And if you look at the company, improved tremendously and doesn't need the funding from a capital side of it, besides broadband wireless and other projects that are on the go, like TTT and Finitin. If we go to our total funding requirements that we've approached National Treasury for, the first batch is regarding broadband. We've requested and presented the business plan to our shareholder ministry, DOC, and to the National Treasury. We've been engaged with them in many meetings, and we've requested the funding for the broadband business plan of in the for year 1, 2008, of 911 million, and 2009, 666 million. Then it's a billion, and then 300 million, and then 172. It's only funded for the first 5 years. Thereafter, the business plan is cash positive and can fund itself. Going into TTT, for the digitization of the TV networks, we've requested funding in 2007 of 95 million. We've received 95 million. In 2008, we requested 120 million. We've received 120 million. From 2009 onwards, we've requested 262, 231, and 250. The only amounts committed were 150 for each of those 3 years, leaving the DTT short of plus minus 300 million in funding. The dual elimination, because in DTT we have to run dual networks of analog and digital networks, and we'll need funding to run the dual networks because the customer will not pay for two networks running. And as their income is dependent down the value chain on advertisers, it will not be possible for them to recoup that money. So at some point we need the fiscus to come in and back the sector. So that amounts to total funding of 917 million. We've heard nothing on that regard. If I may go back to broadband, the only money we've received on broadband thus far is 500 million, and it's quite low compared to our total requirement. If we go to the FIFA World Cup, we've requested 300 million and we've received 300 million, so that's not an issue for discussion. Going back to broadband wireless, which is the discussion of this committee and on the agenda today, I've tabled the requirements for broadband wireless, the funding requirements, and we've only received 500 million. There's a shortfall of plus minus 2.625 billion. Not all in 1 year, over the years that we've laid out and with the rollout plan that is envisaged.
Chair,
advocating for rolling out of a national wholesale broadband network is to, again, as we have said in the past, to have this serve as a catalyst in the market by using ICTs for development in both urban and rural areas. The GOC have asked that we prioritize the minority schools, and those schools would be a focal area that we should then connect the schools, the clinics, the dental offices, and government offices around that infrastructure. And most of these would be in the rural areas. National Treasury has allocated 2 cents, half a billion, subject to the following conditions. One, that we exit the retail and focus on wholesale, which is what the panel looks to. That the business plan should be sustainable, and that centers should raise additional funds from the market. Now, there's a challenge here in that if government allocation is only 500 and the rest has to be raised in the market, what it means is that where we find the money, they would influence the business plan. That center would have to roll out to the lucrative market as opposed to the underserviced rural communities, in order to satisfy them. The promise of lower connectivity prices will have to go out the window because our cost, our input cost will be much higher. And of course, the whole issue of the Millennium Development Goals and the apex of priorities would also be compromised if we would not be able to do what our shareholders have asked us to do. Essentially, we're saying that the entire business and financial model will need to make a decision. The way forward for us is that we need a clear roadmap. We cannot be asked to travel on this road and like what road, and it's not clear. It is important for us that the DOC and National Treasury agree on policy. You don't have it, and in terms of the business plan and the priority areas. If we start off with the rural areas and the unaccessed areas, government would have to come to the party with more than the half a billion because we want to be sustainable. If, you know, we have to go and borrow, then government, that is National Treasury and DOC, have to agree on the debt equity ratio. We cannot be asked to do, to continue to move forward without a clear guideline, without consensus within the executive branch of government about what it is that the Centec should do and how we should do it. I mean, we have ideas, we've always had ideas about how to run this business, but we're dependent on the executive branch for guidance in this regard. We've talked about the issue of the PFMA, and we really have no issue with the PFMA. We believe it's a good instrument. We comply with Other Companies Act, with PFMA, and all of that. But what we're saying is that when you run a business, Centec Act says that we should operate commercially and all of that. We're operating in a dynamic, highly geared sector with big guys. I mean, what is essentially in competition with the Vodafone and the MTNs of this world. And so the speed with which these businesses are made says a lot about whether you miss out on opportunities or you lose out. And so what we're finding is that the PFMA is sometimes cumbersome and delays us taking advantage of opportunities that we're seeing. We're currently under Schedule 3B, and here we give examples of other entities that are in this category, like the Accounting Standards Board, the Legal Aid Board, the Financial Services Board. Clearly, they're in a different sort of business as opposed to center. I might add that the SBC and the Post Office are in Schedule 2. And one could argue that we probably have more competition than they do, but so the constraints of running it, on a day-to-day basis, running an SOE, are critical, and we cannot be, we cannot have schedules that are making it difficult for us to really respond to the market, because even if we have to focus on schools and clinics and post offices, they too have to go out and tender. We need to secure capital in order to roll out for them. And so if there are delays, if the board can't really take expeditious decisions, we would lose out. So what we're appealing for is that perhaps the CENTEC Act should be amended so that we can be categorized as a Schedule 2 under the PFMA. In that way, we will have a little more flexibility. We know that we're still answerable to government and we have to comply with several pieces of legislation in addition to guidelines from both the DOJ and National Treasury, but it will simplify our decision-making process. I might add that when we worked on the 2005 business model, it took 2 years for us to get a response from government, and by that time you've lost out on many opportunities and you're on hold. We work in a sector where most technicians and engineers want to be where the action is, and we had hired a lot of them and they had come to CENTEC by choice because they thought this is where we want to be, running out of broadband wireless, and really you could feel the excitement in the air. And then they're in a holding pen for 2 years. It's really untenable. We need to expedite that decision-making. The issue of the skill shortage and a retention program for our employees is really key. We know that in this particular sector, there's a shortage of skill. I think employees are really having a wonderful time because they can always go to their highest bidder and where the action is. Because it's not just about the money, as I said, it's about being able to get your hands in there and ideas and make things happen. So we operate in an area where there's a tremendous skill shortage. Our retention strategy includes retention bonuses, training both locally and internationally for our people. We also have a Center for School of Technology where we train our permanent staff. We also train young people coming in for learning, and also have a very strong internship program where after the internship program, which lasts about a year, we then place the young people in permanent positions as they become available within the company. With a few remarks, I'd like to say that we are eager to roll up our sleeves and go to get about our business. The CENTEC employees were, rolled out FM radio in the country, and they are very proud because it was something for the nation. They rolled out television in the country, and as some of them retire, they tell fantastic stories about making television happen in this country. While rolling out DTC and still the same excitement. We really want to do this with broadband wireless and really extend it to many areas of the country. So if we could just sort out this particular issue, really would be
Chair, I'd like to summarize on a few things before discussion goes over to the representative of the OP. And that is that, sadly, in respect of the My Wireless project, CENTEC would have been damned if it did and damned if it didn't. because once we were given the licensing, if we had to go through the long processes that one has to go through without actually having finality or starting on the project, we would have been done. What we did do at the time in order to get going was to utilize our own reserves as a start in that confident and realistic expectation that funding would come to us. I think experience was still one that in terms of commercial undertaking, if it's a shareholder acquires the right or requires royalties or acquires anything like that which it wishes its company to implement, it goes without saying that it would come with funding. So it was not unrealistic, I think, for CITIC and its various boards along the line to have expected funding. In terms of normal commercial competition, one can take decisions fairly quickly and raise whatever funding is necessary. The way things work with CITIC is this particular model of an SOE is that it works in respect of monopoly. It probably works in respect of Eskom because there is no competition for it. So those time constraints are not really a problem. In normal commercial competition, which we have to deal with, it's another factor. I believe that the company all along the line has attempted to implement government policy and government policy directives. And there's a host of statements from the Deputy President, various cabinet ministers and the like, in respect of the expectation from CITIC that it would deliver in terms of bridging the digital divide and taking the opportunity to underserviced and underpopulated rural areas, initially on the basis of cross-subsidization. When we were then told that that the authorities didn't wish to see us in competition with private enterprise, and that we should concentrate on wholesale and not retail, we immediately altered and made provision for business plans in respect of this. But these things take time, they take an enormous amount of money. And just to go back again and say the Marwara situation was as a result of an investigation into the company which indicated that it would not be sustainable into the future as a signal distributor alone. I believe that CITIC has acted appropriately at all times. It has dealt with its ministry in respect of the problems that the board has been raised in connection with the funding and the like. What has brought the issue to quite a tense head, if I can put it that way, is the unfortunate anonymous comment by a member of Treasury to the press regarding reservations in respect of corporate governance issues and management, successful management issues in CITIC. And I think you'll agree with the chairman that when allegations of the nature of those that were made, it's serious, it reflects on the integrity of members of management and the board, and that the company had no option but to respond to that press statement that was made anonymously. What we attempted to do is set down facts. So we can't be held responsible for the headlines that were in the press or the commentary that went in between. But I honestly believe that the statement that we made was a statement setting out the facts and the problems that the company has been faced with. We've repeatedly indicated that we'll endeavour to deliver whatever government wants us to deliver within the framework of reasonable corporate responsibility. And I think it's important that that should actually be closely in that context. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Mr. Shepherdson and all the honorable members of the federal committee, colleagues from Centex and National Treasury. Thank you very much for this opportunity and to come and hopefully clarify one or two issues. And Mr. Shepherdson, to begin with, I'd like to add our voice to say what is happening in the media. The DOC and elder ministry does not subscribe. We don't believe that we should be agreeing or disagreeing in the media, and therefore what is happening currently is very much regrettable. Secondly, Mr. Shepherdson, I'd like to say that with regards to the funding of Centex, we agree with Centex. The issue has to do mainly with the funding of the wireless broadband network and not DTT. In fact, to the contrary, I believe that together with Treasury we've made some progress and in the forthcoming MTEF this year and next year, we have opportunities to really make good on whatever shortfall is there. Mr. Shepherdson, I'd like to start off by really saying that I'm sure this house is aware that the multimedia license of Centex was awarded pursuant to the promulgation of the Telecommunications Amendment Act. It is my future, person, and I think I am not correct that once that act was debated by the Portfolio Committee, the Portfolio Committee spent a considerable amount of time and received input from government, from the private sector, on that particular piece of legislation, and like you do in any other one. But it is my view that once the acts are promulgated, once they are passed, it is really the duty of officials throughout government, National Treasury, DOC, and other government colleagues to say, how best do we implement policies that are passed? It's how best we implement, and maybe I'll come back to that a bit later. The chairperson touched a bit on, and the CEO, that we spent some 2 years debating whether we should fund the wireless in the initial stages. And I'd like to say, initially the issue was whether Centex should have been awarded that license. And again, I mean, it can be, as I said, it can be that officials come and question whether we should award it or not. I really believe that there are opportunities pursuant to that. The ECA came on board, and it was an opportunity for us to begin to influence the changes in a particular manner, or not in a particular manner, but not to question the existence of a legislation. Chairperson, I'd like to maybe put the decisions that we take on Centex and any other entity, maybe in a proper perspective. To begin with, we don't do this in isolation. We take these decisions cognizant of what is happening in the sector. I mean, I'm sure everybody in this house is quite aware that the mobile penetration is throughout the country. Broadband is literally, non-existent in this country. And when it exists in your affluent areas. Even the penetration of mobile is to a large extent, voice and voice prepaid, where the most marginalized of our people don't have access to these technologies. They may not receive a call, and if they can do that, it's a certain SMS. And taking all of this into account, we're working together with other government departments in various clusters, the economic cluster. We then took a decision on how do we approach the ICT investments in the country. To begin with, we are aware that Arabia.com was sold. We took a decision that given the low penetration of infrastructure in the country, that we should establish Intraco to compete with amongst other telecom. I'll come back to Intraco. And we took a decision that Centex should provide a national broadband network. This decision was taken, of course the department will make recommendations to the economic cluster of director generals. that economic cluster then makes the recommendations to Cabinet Lokgotla, and Cabinet Lokgotla approved these decisions, again given the background of what's happening in the sector. To touch a bit on Telkom, of course, we take into account that Telkom and Neotel are rolling out infrastructure that, you know, in the initial phases would address your affluent areas. Telkom, to us, the status of Telkom is an SOE. I'm not sure we can call it that. I think Telkom is listed on the JSE and New York Stock Exchange, and is governed by those rules. How you begin to interface and interact with Telkom needs to take into account those governance issues. And of course, we're well aware that Telkom has been granted exclusivity from the PFMA, given the requirements of the Joint Executive Chain. So we're not able to use Telkom as the entity that can play this role in the underserved area. Chairperson, our interactions with our colleagues in the Treasury and the rationale, one of the reasons that I saw the chairperson said this would be a closed session, but one of the rationale that really we keep on going back and forth on with our colleagues of the Treasury has to do with the viability, or what they call the bankability, of the business plan of the center. I have really come to believe that this gets used as a diversion more than anything else to what the real issues are. To maybe to expand a bit on that is to say that even in the allocation of the 500 million, the letter of allocation and the chairperson read, there's nothing about the viability or bankability of a business plan. But what is in that letter is categorically that further funding can be sourced on commercial borrowing terms, which has got implications that business plan, which has got implications to what we want to achieve as government by using this strategic entity. Even 2 weeks ago, the chairperson touched on this. A senior treasury official is quoted in the IT web as saying that unless confidence in the corporate governance, financial management, the strategic focus can be restored, Centec is unlikely to receive anything more than minimum funding. I might have a chance to come back to talk about corporate governance, because that is my responsibility in the DOC. I have overall responsibility for shareholder oversight. If I get a chance, I'll talk to it again. Again, you're finding that the business plan, you know, is not featuring in those issues. I'd like to say some 2 years ago, in 2006, late 2006, the matter was raised, I believe, in cabinet, and the issues raised there was the reason Centec is not getting funding is that there is no business plan. Minister reproduced the business plan that was submitted to Treasury for 3 consecutive years, submitted those copies again to the Presidency, to National Treasury, and to the Deputy President. Chairperson, I really feel that our colleagues, together with National Treasury, we need to come up with rationale why I'm not saying Centec must be given funding at all. But what I'm really saying is that we ought to give guidance to Centec to act or not act in a particular manner, because in developing the various models of business plans, it takes time, it takes resources. It takes away the focus that this entity should be emphasizing on, and therefore loses in the process business opportunity. The last point, Chairperson, I'd like to say on the business plan and or its bankability is to say that upfront, as DOC, we support the establishment of Interco. We went out of our way to effect amendments to the ECA to bring about a speedy realization of Infraco. We do this, I know some of my colleagues in Centec don't agree with me, because we believe that the services as envisaged are complementary, not competing, and therefore the two entities will be in a better position to serve the needs of this country, particularly the poor and marginalized people of South Africa. what Jefferson sent wrong messages? What sent wrong messages from our colleagues at National Treasury is the fact that we go and give funding to an entity that does not have a legislative mandate to exist. Yet an entity that has proven its worth, that has got the capability of rolling out these services, it takes us 5 years to begin to say whether there's a business plan, whether they should be in this business. And I really believe it's incumbent upon us, National Treasury, DOC, to advise our people accordingly and to begin to put on the table what we believe are the real issues and not use some of these as diversions to the real issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Martin. Not a closed meeting, open meeting, and I told you to say what you want to say, what you have to say. Donaldson? Yeah. Emerson Sessions? Narrow focus within the wider telecommunications industry. And that's the mandate that's been taken in 1996. And the legislation simply transfers ownership, sets out that mandate, and has a few other enabling clauses relating to the business. It provides, it provides for borrowing by the company with the approval, as is normal in legislation of this kind, of the Ministry of Communications and the Ministry of Finance. But it does not provide for funding by Centec by the fiscal. And unlike the legislation that establishes many other public entities, there is very little detail in that legislation of the planning processes, the budgeting processes, the consultation processes, the reporting processes through which that mandate was to be exercised. And I think that if one thinks back to the context in which the state took ownership of Centec, in the context in which broadcasting, of course, was being broadened from the SABC to a range of other players, so Centec positioning itself away from the SABC, in recognition that signal distribution was going to be a business that would service not just the SABC but other players as well. I think that if we think about that context, it is apparent that it was not the legislator's intent at the time that Centec should be funded for its business through taxpayers. Now, things have changed. That act was amended in 2001 with an additional clause added to the purpose and intent of Centec that added the possibility of Centec playing a role in other electronic communications and communication services. And the further amendment in the Electronic Communications Act promulgated in 2006, as amended, removed the focus on signal distribution and broadened the mandate of Centec very, very widely indeed to electronic communication services as provided for in the Electronic Communications Act. And so we therefore have to look to that act, which does not specify specific responsibilities of Centec, but rather provides for policy direction to be issued by the Minister for responsibility of the Department of Communications in the Centec for the state identifiers or public entities that operate within the sphere. So we have to look to the policy direction provided by the Ministry of Communications on by the Department of Communications. Now, the electronic communications act, of course, is a recent one. It was only promulgated in law less than 2 years ago. And as has been presented to the committee this morning, there have been several changes and ongoing process of consultation around the business plan for this particular initiative, the wireless broadband initiative, but of course also for the other activities of Centec. Now, these range from signal distribution itself, continuing and growing responsibility. Reference was made to the report by Little, which apparently, this report has not been shared with Treasury, but apparently advised that signal distribution would not be sustainable. Centec would not be sustainable as a signal distributor only. That's an extraordinary claim. It almost certainly is false. There are many companies in the world that are signal distributors only. It's a choice to be made whether signal distribution remains the business of an entity or whether it broadens its activities to involve other activities. The choice has been made. Mandate the Ministry of Communications give effect to this, the choice has been made to broaden the activities of Clintic, and I think that's right, because it has a substantial footprint on which to build in other communication services. But specific role of Clintic within the broader evolution of communication services, of which a broadband service or one cluster, nonetheless has to be spelled out in policy direction. These have not been promulgated. To our knowledge in Treasury, there has not yet been clarification of the specific role, clarification in terms of the law, of the specific role that Clintic will play. And so how the multimedia license, which is a very open-ended license, is to be interpreted and given effect, is, if you like, still in progress. And that's probably as it should be. The business plan is still under development, and as the committee has heard, there has been a very substantial shift of focus from a retail service which I think played a catalytic and innovative role, but let's be realistic, it reached a maximum of about 5,000 customers, and it has entirely been overtaken in the industry by the other players who are able to invest on the strength of much larger, much stronger balance sheet. And quite rightly, that role of expanding retail services has now effectively been taken on by the major players in the industry, and they are growing their businesses very rapidly. The further catalytic role for wholesale role of Clintic, though, still needs to be clarified. And although we have received, on the strength of that, draft business plan, which we received in the second half of last year, 500 million rand has been budgeted for the further development of that service. We nonetheless have indicated in our correspondence with the Department of Communication that there is further work to do in developing that business plan on the strength of which the further development of its role in the industry a role in a larger industry can be spelled out. Now, I've elaborated rather on what is fundamentally a legislative issue. Legislation not just in terms of the Clintic Act and the Telecommunications Act itself, but obviously also of the policy directives promulgated in terms of that. And I think it's important to separate the policy direction from the license enables the company to conduct business in terms of the EPA. The mandate to do so, of course, is a separate matter that has to come from the minister. Now, I need to comment on particularly statement that having been awarded a multimedia license, it goes without saying that it comes with the funding. Do you think it doesn't go without funding? Has to be made available through law, through appropriations that are Parliament's responsibility. Those appropriations, in terms of law, have to be made on the basis of a budget that is submitted to Parliament by the Minister of Finance. And in terms of law, the Minister of Finance makes such recommendations to Parliament and appropriation bills on the strength of advice that it is our job in Treasury to provide. That advice is provided on the basis of an extensive budget process. It involves consultation with every department, many, many government agencies, and involves the assessment every year of several thousand budget proposals. And it's a process, as the committee well knows, and as Parliament well knows, in which difficult judgments have to be made year by year. We have been fortunate in recent years in the growth of the economy and the strong fiscal position we've been in. We have been able to provide an expanding portfolio of investment in new initiatives, including substantial additions to the funding of authentic initiatives. But it does not go without saying that funding can be provided. No government can operate on that presumption. There has to be a process of budget allocation, and budgeting has to be on the strength of plans that are agreed and that are phased in over time. Now, the second point I want to make here relates to sequencing. It relates to phasing over time. And here, I think that I want to say that we have a very deep appreciation of the rather difficult position that TENTEC is in. Difficult in two important senses. The first is that this is, of course, an industry in which there is rapid change. And so if you lag behind, you get left behind. Secondly, TENTEC involves two parallel programs that are both very demanding indeed. Signal distribution, which is the original core responsibility of TENTEC, is itself an activity that requires ongoing investment. And we understand that the signal distribution infrastructure that TENTEC is responsible for is in need of renewal, replacement. There is aging equipment there, and indeed there are parts of that television and radio signal distribution infrastructure that are coming to the end of their lives, and that broadcasting capabilities, which is a rich resource in our country, which is under state responsibility, needs to be renewed, needs to be properly maintained, and needs to be replaced over time. And that is financed not on the budget. It is financed because the tariff that is charged to broadcasters explicitly makes provision for the depreciation and replenishment of that capital equipment. But the truth of the matter is that that financial provision has been depleted because over 500 million rand have been lost over the last 5 years through investment in a loss-making wireless broadband initiative.
Oh.
And so the resources that ought to have been going into, that have been financed through tariff charge to broadcasters, maintenance of the footprint of broadcasting infrastructure, those investments have lagged behind need. Now, as it happens, we have undertaken an ambitious, in the words of TENTEC, in its mission to Treasury, aggressive rollout strategy of digitization. Digitization is in progress in many countries in the world. In many countries in the world, it is being undertaken more slowly than we have undertaken to. We have set ourselves a bold target to digitize television distribution in this country. That is going to require a substantial investment. And Treasury has agreed, Minister of Finance, Cabinet have agreed, that that will be partially subsidized by the fiscus. That's a little unusual. It would be more normal to expect that the cost of the investment in digitization should be met by broadcasters over time. Not at once, but over time, through the cost recovery and tariff in an expanding broadcasting industry, and of course with a higher quality of that would require some structured financing. Of course, one of the roles the Treasury can play is to assist in putting together an appropriate financing strategy. But we have taken the view that at least part of the cost of that digitization program should be met directly through a grant from budget. It will not be sufficient. In addition to that, it will be necessary for loan financing of one kind or another to be raised. It will be done through the fiscus, it will be done borrowing from the Development Bank of Southern Africa, which has a specialist mandate providing finance for infrastructure investment. It could be done through going to the banking sector or on commercial terms. We would not expect it to be done on short-term commercial terms. That would not be realistic. These are long-term investments. And so we would, if we were asked for advice on the matter, that's the liability management division of Treasury would provide such advice, we would advise long-term loan that defer the cost. Recognizing that, of course, these investments are for the future. But the essential point I want to make here is that the digitization project itself, and there are 2010 commitments associated with that is a very substantial project for the period ahead, and it is associated with replenishment and renewal of the television, radio, and transmission network, which is the responsibility of SENTE. And we need to be cautious that other activities do not crowd out those core. Let me conclude just by saying that Treasury essentially has two responsibilities here. One responsibility is to assist the Minister of Finance and Cabinet in putting the budget together and sorting out what can be accommodated. We have the next budget, we've got that. Second is in providing advice and assistance in financing. It's not our job to advise on the telecommunications policy, but it is our job to assist where we can in identifying appropriate ways of financing the investment requirements of public entities. And within Treasury, there are several possible parts of that, respect to debt finance, government borrowing. Our assets and liabilities division is in a position to assist. We also, as you will be aware, have established over the years a small team with special capacity in public-private partnership, and should the Department of Communications wish to explore the kinds of partnerships that can play a role in accelerating the rollout of modern technology, broadband access, and many ways the wireless broadband project is about that. Then, of course, we would be able to assist. But it is, of course, recognised the core responsibility of the board of SENTEC and the Department of Communications here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Chairman, did you see what walked in?
The public.
I thought we had an invasion of Martians on our hands.
There we have it, amidst very valuable input. All of these presentations forcing us to think about issues. Okay. Beyond just what the media reports, open to public.
Jefferson, thank you. The media is here to report on what happens, and I'm not going to ask a question for the media. I'm sure they will report on it. Some of the two questions I want to put straightforward. SENTEC has a certain responsibility, and there's certain expectations coming from SENTEC. I just find it strange, and maybe through your good initiative, I think just getting together should have been on the agenda much earlier. Because there was another year that we did not raise the question about proper funding, our interpretation of proper funding to SENTEC. And nobody seems to notice that we seem to be talking past each other. And also the information that you're providing us, I'm sure it's good information. It's a good start to take us forward and trying to resolve it. The fact of the matter is, SENTEC has been given basically two licenses. And I'm just asking myself, at the time when we agreed on the second one, the multimedia license, how did we expect SENTEC to be able to put that license in operation if no funding is forthcoming? Who is supposed to do that motivation to get that funding? And I'm not talking on behalf of SENTEC, because even ourselves, or myself, being part of that committee, that took the decision, sometimes what we don't do is when we do legislation, do a costly exercise, actually who's going to pick up the tab for that exercise? So we do, and we're all happy it's going to take place in December. So it's about that. My concern, which I raised earlier with SENTEC before we started, that even if we agree to to get the money now, and I'm sure you're not in a position to make that kind of commitment. The lead time to get some of the things that they need, some of the equipment, is of such a period that even if we get the money now, we're going to run out of time. Very often the 2010 word, it has become a buzzword. But if you look at the responsibility towards that responsibility, you need to have certain communication infrastructure in place and in operation because they want to test it April next year. So forget about 2010, in fact, it's 29. I think it's that the Federation, is the Federation Cup?
Confederation.
Confederation Cup. So the LEC will come in April to Centec, to SABC, and whoever, and say, let's have a test run. So you need all those kind of tenders. My last question, there's more comments. How do you put it? The last conference of the ANC passed a resolution, a number of resolutions, amongst others. We got a certain plan around DSO or the Scorpions, as we all commonly know. We see an operation immediately being put in place to deal with that resolution. There's a similar resolution that talks about the funding of Centec. And we don't see the same kind of vigor, same kind of start trust to get that sorted up. And I think the only thing that is missing maybe in that resolution is by June this year. So somebody can start to get up and do something about it. So it talks about that the funding model. It talks about the funding model of the public broadcaster, and we don't see something similar. So there's a committee up to realize that what the resolution are. Now I'm not sure whether we should write to Treasury and send them a copy of the resolution, or just somebody pick it up. I'm not sure who said to the other committee that deals with the DSO, did somebody write a letter to them to set up a committee? Personally, I think it is challenging, it is a matter of concern. That we need to resolve this matter in terms of the funding and appropriate funding, and where there's a lack, and maybe between you and DOC can give guidance outside this committee. How do we start to address that? Thank you.
I thought that the Honourable Horta Kumalo would bring us a message from Paula Kwane. I was expecting it to come first on the agenda, but not sure, Randy. Shall we remind ourselves that you can pass resolutions at Paula Kwane, but they certainly don't bind this Parliament. We have a duty as members of Parliament to legislate under the Constitution. I don't think they bind the Treasury, which has a specific kind of a duty. It has to apply its mind in certain ways. And the Paula Kwane wish list will have to work through our democratic system of checks and balances, and hopefully we end up then with them. I'm sure Eric would be the last to push it on editor. Chair, this has been a very useful session, and I just wish the three chairpersons back had acceded to my request that we go and see Treasury at that stage. But may we just take it forward now from the point where we leave it after the three inputs. To me, the thing that matters is the digital terrestrial rollout. The broadband is the muckier one, and I'll talk about that in a second if I might. But getting DTT rolled out is obviously the priority, and to me, it's an open and shut that has to happen. Now, in that case, look, it's not all that useful to say who's at fault here, but just for the sake of the history, Centec has for years been saying, we have to start the process. The minister has known, the DOC has known for years that we have to digitize. We all knew we had to digitize. If nothing happened, the feet were dragged. And now suddenly we have to do it in 3 years. No other country known to man has digitized in 3 years. And Treasury has kindly indicated that they are aware of the constraints, therefore, placed upon Centec, and that they have in fact agreed to finance to a high degree. But what remains is the 300 million shortfall, right? And my question now to Centec, and I suppose DOC, after what Mr. Donaldson said, is are you happy with what he is proposing, if I understood him correctly, that Treasury would be ready to assist you in getting loan finance in the long term, over a long term, Mr. Kassim, and that they would be happy to advise, if I understood that's what you what you're ready to do in respect of the 300 million. You certainly can't over a 3-year period recover your costs from broadcasters, but you will recover in due course, and you will have a revenue stream again to update infrastructure, which in 5 years' time will need to be changed again, technology being ready. So how does CENTEC and DOC respond to Treasury's position is they've given you some money, but the other 300 million you must go and borrow, and they'll help, and it can be long term. The other thing, the broadband, I don't want to go all the way back to Andile and Carbar, but it is under his wing, auspices, direction that the ANC MPs legislated the thing they called multimedia. What it means is broadband, for reasons unknown. We spent many hours, many nights, in fact. Let's not go all the way back. But that situation is absolutely relevant, and it is so right that Mr. Donaldson took us through that and the CENTEC Act and the changes there too. Now, Victor, the crisp question comes down to this, the business plan. And Ford CENTEC has received a different kind of a mandate every 2 years or so. But what I would like to understand about this business plan, and I'm using Beverly's organogram, so Belletto has said to us that if CENTEC has to start at the socio-economic end, then government must fund. And she's now talking about this corner of the organogram, the rollout of wireless broadband to the USOLs and the socio-economic customers, right? And it has always been my concern with this wireless rollout that the signals would go out, but what happens at the other end? Who is going to put computers into schools? Who is going to put computers into clinics? Who's going to service the costs there? And the minister gave us an interesting answer when she appeared a few days ago. She reminded us that under our system of constitutional governance, many of these powers, of course, reside with the provinces, and then some would be local, moreover. And she had just been the day before at Kimberley to enthuse people about the idea of what they can do once the wireless thing is rolled out. But it means that your business plan can only be written up to a certain point. After that, you have to, hope that those other spheres of government will, in fact, do the uptake. In the Naledi schools, Dinaledi schools, for example, that my question was, is Naledi going to put in the computers? Is the Department of Education going to pay those bills mostly? But the question, I guess, can't be answered because you don't know whether the provinces will take it out. So there, to me, is already a problem. Then do we have an undertaking from the national government, at least, that the next section, public sector, that the national government department is going to take up this particular broadband service? Provinces, again, you can't expect the provinces to say, okay, we'll take yours. Local, likewise. So it's not a guaranteed type of business plan, like any other business plan that has risks built into it. And as to when you get to PTNs and vans and ISPs and so forth, I mean, good luck. I mean, I'm sure there is some sort of an ease. But so I, like others, I wonder about the viability and so forth, as indeed CENTEC must, but it works under a mandate. And therefore, the automatic financing of this one to me is a larger problem. And you've now received whatever it was, $500 million. But maybe some other people, but the DOC would be nasty, maybe you want to come and tell everybody, give us more assurances here, more demonstrations that the uptake will be there.
Actually, I was caught outside that there's something that Jolana went outside, there was nothing, so I think that's a decoy. No, the position is quite nice to me these days. I don't know, I made something wrong with my politics. Jefferson, the Treasury representative, is quite right that originally the mandate of SANSEC was signal distribution. Now, the technological development has proved that there's been a rapid movement from analog system to digitization. So what do? When your entire signal distributor is using analog system, you see, you then need to fund them to move along with the development of technology. 3 years ago, Chairperson, the former Chief Operating Officer of SANSEC, I think it was Edwin Maromo, he was here, he told us that when we accepted that SABC must give in 700 million for digitization and we give SANSEC 400 million, it's like now you're going to play a CD on an old turntable. You see, that's how he looked at it. Now, with the process of time, eventually SANSEC had to be given the very unique license that nobody has received, the multimedia license, and also to become carrier of carriers. And therefore, they went into quite a number of projects, with some of them were disastrous, like the My Wireless and others, and many other that they tried. Now, there's a possibility that Treasury and the DOC party believe that maybe the leadership of SANSEC, both the board and the management, are not up to standard to can use the money appropriately or anything. But they're not saying that. You see, they're not saying that. They say it in corners, and we hear this type of thing. That maybe they prefer other one bodies to can lead this institution, but they're not saying that also. Because, you see, the problem now that we have is the fact that South Africa managed to host an international event to 2010, a Soccer World Cup. Now, it is dictated upon the signal distributor, because now, in terms of the law, they are the one who provides to SABC, to ETV. Because, you see, once you do not then accede to the demands, it affects then both ETV, SABC, and many of those that depend on the radio stations and stuff like that, because now those are also a key. Now, what do we then do in that instance? Now, the issue that my comrade and Randy says about the Polokwane conference, not only the Polokwane conference, the matter that we've discussed, to say that if you've got SANSEC put under PFMA Schedule 3B, it makes it difficult to raise money in an open market. Now, therefore, it will make sense for you to give them, to either put them in a different category of Schedule 2, in which they can then be able to can raise money in the open market and stuff. But then the danger is that it might also change the way they're supposed to operate, also the governance, but also it then means that SABC and ETV will not necessarily be forced to use the signals of SANSEC, but that's not used, or become any other, because now the field would have been open, the market would be open. Now what we have here, Chapter, is the fact that now it will be correct for Treasury to say that we don't have a problem to can put this money on SANSEC to attend the issue of the DTT and other things, and in terms of digitization. But the problem is that we are not so sure of the capacity of SANSEC to can handle this thing based on the previous failures that they might have had. Now, therefore, we would enter into a proper, better discussion, because we'll then have to do. But you cannot punish an institution just because either you've got a perception that some people who are there might not be your favorites. But then the second issue, Chairperson, is the fact that we see a progression of taking some of the core responsibilities of the DOC to either DPE or trade industry, or even Treasury not taking them seriously. Because I'll tell you what, I understood Mr. Matawate says we are fine with the infraco. We were not fine with them. We were not fine, because you see, also we were not fine when both SANSTEL and EZTEL were left in those institutions, when they could have been taken into DOC. Just at the beginning, once we started to have the DOC, it was wrong for us to leave them there. Hence, now you see that they cannot even come into the party and become part of the new tech. All of a sudden, we've got a new institution created so that we can move. Now, I'm saying these are the debates. We've discussed them. We've closed the chapter. Now, what we are asking for, what we are saying, is the fact that what SANSEC has received, the 500 million that they have received, there's a shortfall of 300 million that they should then get in order to assist them to do that. Now, there are two challenges to SANSEC. One, They are expected on the 1st of November to maintain, to switch on, to go to digital, and maintain the analog system. Now the money that they have, it does help them to sometimes keep the analog system and to run some of the programs that they are running. Now that means the main service that they do, signal is still continuing. So you can't punish them for the fact that they can't go wholesale to go retail. No, they must get it from retail into wholesale. You see, now you even punish them for the actual core business that they do, and which is unfortunate. Now at that time, when November comes, it then means with the little peanuts they have, well, it's peanuts if you compare to the millions against to SAA after so many failures that SAA has gone through. It is peanuts. Now, once you've got that situation of the dual illumination for 3 years, I can tell you it will become difficult for Centec to do that. And let me tell you what you also do. You're also holding SABC and ETV and many others. You can then even have other stations to run in terms of them being able to move, even including others that depend on them. So that's a problem that we have. So we would really wish that it should not be, if there are those problems that are seen separately, about Centec, they should be dealt with separately. And two, if there is also a view that maybe some people see an opportunity in terms of the natural resources of the frequency spectrum, which you guys are sitting at. You are sitting on top of billions and billions and billions, and you don't see it. Some people see an opportunity in you. So they would really wish to have us privatizing a portion of Centec, which will benefit. Some people might run and do it in America, in Britain, in many other countries. Spectrum is being auctioned, is being sold for millions to higher bidder. But here we've allowed you to sit on Spectrum, and you are sitting on it, and some people might not be happy. But we are not going to allow that type of ambitions and issues now to affect us to be able to do that we should do. We've got a problem here. The DTC is supposed to roll out. It's not taking place now because of this thing. So these are the concerns. Now the ANC Polokwane Conference, it's got its delegates who voted there, it's got members of Parliament who are here representing the party. It's not that we are saying that should be the ANC conference that should lead, that should be guiding and also dictated upon treasury. That's what we are saying. Fund Centec 100%. If you can't put them in a different schedule of to be what, that's all that we are saying. And that's the issue. Thank you.
I have actually no
what
you
I think the painful part about this whole thing, it has been my argument even when we came to the interview, is that in all these years of suffering, those people in the rural area, they continue to suffer even in the media. I was interested to listen when Centec was presenting and say, on this particular year, we're starting to make profit. And when you see their strategy and check where is rural area, where are they going to focus? I'm sure it's number 5 or number 6. Now, you see, the priority is always on urban area. No one cares about the rural area. Hence, even this rollout of the broadband is easy for treasurer or whoever, any other person, to say what they are saying. Because it seems as if nobody cares about the people in the rural area. It's all about the interest of the people in the rural areas who vote like anybody else, and who also queue and vote, bring more votes for any other people living in the urban areas. In terms of even voting, if you look at the rural provinces, in terms of number of votes, people are voting in the rural areas. But when it comes to their interest, they are pushed down there. I understand Centec in terms of their strategy. The rural areas may be down there because of the difficulty of funding. To say let us expand here on the concentrated area, let me get profit and other things, then we go there. But it can be checked in this time and era to still push the interest of the rural people down off the bottom. Anyone, SABC, they are not transmission there because of Stantec capacity and so you can't blame SABC. But those people in the rural area are the ones who are suffering. About this development in technology, those people are suffering. Any other program, the rural areas are suffering. So it's easy to say you live in the urban area because and you can afford for that matter. So the issues also are for affordability. And you can afford. Then you can think that the private sector can go there and play their own free market and so on. Because you can afford. But for us who are coming there and who are going there to do the constituent work, and we're still going there to go and campaign for the ANC to win in 2009. It's very difficult. And it's worse for those particular people down there. So, look, I think the issue that what I was also interested in is that, you see, it becomes a problem, say, when people who are tasked for implementation, they start to see loopholes in terms of the policy. And not communicate those things, but react when they're supposed to act on those things. I could not imagine, Chair, that the deputy president of the country can go in public and support Santec, the president, the minister, and so on. Whereas this loophole in terms of the mandate of Santec and other things is not clear, and Santec is not supposed to be funded by the public fund and so on. Why are they going public and say this is the thing Santec is supposed to do? But when it's supposed to implement, then they have problem with traffic. So we know very well, like Comrade Koto said, that in certain corners, I'm not sure whether it does find its expression to national treasure. That, by the way, Santec should be private, right? It should be a private company for us people who get business opportunities. If people are having their own personal interest, it's unfortunate that those selfish and narrow personal interests are causing the poor in the rural areas to continue suffering. That's my problem. It was better if this narrow interest and this too bureaucratic approach of things assist the people in the rural area. You don't find Santec when you go back to Limpopo in your own rural area. You don't have the reception, you can't communicate and so on. It can be changed. My appeal is that whatever differences is there, but this also need to be rolled up for the sake of the poor, not for our sake, for the sake of the poor. And that's why Chair was saying this Purukwana resolution will find its expression. Congress also touched the issue of the warm bodies attached to something. To me, Chair, I thought when you fund an institution or a public entity, you find it based on the needs, not based on who must implement. Because that is another issue, the board, the judicial duty, which needs to be taken care by another person. But you can't leak the funding to the warm board because Eric is there. And it does not seem to be okay, or I'm not sure whether he can be able to implement, then it should affect the funding. It can. You fund the institution, not the individual, and so on. But my apology, sir, because I also went out because of this other thing. I could not finish the presentation of the National Treasury around the other matter because I was interested about the Act of Frontex and so on. If the question of the Act of Frontex, the State Department bring the amendments, we push it before even June. Yeah. We can do it. Yeah. If the issue of the Act that is not clear, that Frontex must be funded by the public fund, let them bring amendments, we'll do it. We are prepared and willing so that the poor can benefit. It's all about the interest of the poor, nothing else. All this other issue will follow. But Santec needs to be funded. I understand the CTT is okay. But for me, the front bed is an issue which I'll always argue that it should be funded. And if we can't, let us change the schedule. We debated Infraco. We call National Treasury. They could not sustain their debate with the Department of Public Enterprise. And Infraco is getting through. Now, Chair, if we need to amend the CFMA, let's just amend the charter. This thing said to say you can't amend the scheduling because you must amend the entire act of the FMA. I don't think it's correct. I don't think it's correct. But Stantec needs to be funded. It should be clear to anyone. If share the issue that official cannot find the expression of their superiors, which are the politicians, the ministers. Chair, I will urge that this committee will call the Minister for Finance and the Minister for DOC to come before this committee to discuss this matter and finalize it. It cannot drag, Comrade. There is no time, Comrade President. There is no time to drag. If they can't find each other, let's call the Minister. We've got the power to do that as Parliament, the account here, to come and give us clarity on this matter and the statement which they are making, which the officials, they seem to understand is different, unless if they indicate right on the public and turn left on the other side. But it can be said.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll maybe talk to the last point on the leadership and the governance issues. The first thing to say is that we hold the fiduciary responsible. We believe it's paramount of the board of directors of not only Stantec but any other entity that falls within the portfolio of the department. And really we in this portfolio we have improved the corporate governance system considerably. And to us what that means is that one, we have a board that's efficient, that's effective, but much more than that, we have a board that has got the right skills and expertise to carry out the mandate of that particular board. Give an example on Stantec, one of our focus is because of the challenges of rolling out DTT, the challenges of rolling out the wireless broadband, we then look for people with that expertise to really fill that complement. We start giving up other areas like your risk management system, which is inexistent, we're happy with it, system of internal controls and control. So insofar as that is concerned, we are satisfied. And from a DOC's perspective, as I indicated earlier, I am overall responsible for advising Minister and DG in this respect. Again, I think it can never be perfect. If there are issues that we need to know of, we'll work together with all our colleagues in government and our colleagues in Stantec. So if there are issues, we always welcome and open to them. The second point I would want to touch on has to do with the rollout to the denality areas and who's going to receive the signal on the other side of. I did indicate earlier, we work together with other government departments, we work as a government, we have the asset cluster, which I'm sure members have been briefed on, and in this regard, we work together with the Department of Health, Department of Education, Department of Home Affairs, and the Post Office to make sure that what Stantec does is provide the signals, and those other departments will then provide the content and the computers and those type of things. SAP in particular will provide the infrastructure to do all these things. So and we work very, very closely with them. We collectively develop a program of action to make sure that you don't build, if you like, white elephants. We also work very closely and very well with our colleagues in National Treasury, and part of the grant that they have $1 billion, we work with assets and liabilities, which was also central to this allocation, and we would work with them in ensuring that we work with them in ensuring that other sources of funding can be explored and if need be secured. I've already indicated to the DG that we will commence discussion with the PPP unit of treasury with the asset and liability to say how do we, I mean DTT, I've indicated this, that DTT is going to need a quite sizable amount of money to roll out, and therefore we need to explore but you know, all the avenues that are in existence, we don't necessarily, you know, go and say trigger the funders and that. So that process is underway, and as I said, we work with all our colleagues in that regard. And I think the other issues, CENTEC would want to touch on.
Thank you. Honorable member of the first of all, the CENTEC broadband wireless, but particularly my wireless in disaster. I'd like to again emphasize that it was a good product, but the coverage was a problem. People want and love it. You want to leave your laptop at the office or whatever it is, and when you get home or you're at a restaurant someplace else, you have connectivity. If you don't have that coverage, like, you know, you're going to have problems similar to the problems we had with GSM when you first started, and you did not have national coverage. You go around with your cell phone, some places else you have coverage, and others you didn't, and just trusting to everyone. So it was a coverage. And we did not have coverage because we did not have the money to put in infrastructure. Otherwise, we had a good product. And as I said, independent entities looked at it and rated it highly. So you have a good product, you also have to market it. You can just tell the enormous sums of money being spent by others in the sector that it isn't small change. But in any case, the competitive advantage we had as a first to market was lost because of that. So it really had nothing to do with CENTEC's ability to deliver to the people. We hear what National Treasury says about us having to look for other sources of funding to complete the DTT rollout. It's new to us, but we will engage them. In this matter, I don't think it's
to
do this. I'd like to, however, say that we have the capacity to do both DTT and broadband wireless. There are two separate teams that are working on this particular project. Also, technically, every player in the market does not do 100% of the rollout themselves. Whether it's Telecom or Newtel or whatever it is, they do some internally and they ask for some. So it would not be an anomaly for CENTEC to have that combination. So the issue of capacity does not begin to arise in terms of where we're moving to. I'd like to also say that we've had numerous discussions with USASA, the Universal Service Agency. Because they are 6 months connectivity to schools, they have put some equipment in MPCCs and all of that, because we're saying that we need to work as a whole, as opposed to in a fragmented manner. We've also had numerous discussions with the post office about where does it go, because they are saying that they have quite a number of post offices around the country that are not connected, because it's so far for the current telcos to do that. And they're looking to wireless connectivity so that they're able to do that. The Tucson post office would also act almost like a mini internet cafe, quite apart from the post office services that it would provide. And so to begin to address the concerns that Honourable Member Eric had before, about reaching out to rural areas. And so the issue of the demanding schools is, you know, to get long-term, and if communities see that as a benefit and they protect those assets, it means that after school, the community could have some access, nominal payment, to those services, and same as the post office, because, you know, I suppose it's really a policy issue. I believe that the issues we're currently involving about what Honorable mentioned about post the rollout, who pays for the services, is indeed key, and it is indeed of concern to us. We don't want to end up in a situation that, I suppose, Telcom ended up with, after Quintana
joined them, and they were required to roll out to many parts of the country. But immediately after they did that, they cut those services because of the issue of cookies and how much
people put in press.
And so we are looking at that, and we continue to engage the Department of Education and Health along with that you see on these matters, in addition to some. What else?
Value in South Africa's spectrum, the change in digitalization, of course, really
realizing the value of that spectrum while at the same time protecting access of rural areas and then access to communication services is critical. I do think that that should be seen as part of the financing strategy going forward. It's not a trivial asset in the public domain. And that's
not a clarification just on that last point. Yep. Mr. Donaldson, one way of doing that, of course, would be to allow USASA to access Universal Service Fund. Many of those operators use spectrum and pay quite a hefty amount into the Universal Service Fund, which just sits there, because very little of its money is in fact channeled through to USASA. So if what the CEO sketch comes true, if in fact USASA is given a role in this difficult place here, socioeconomic customers, and if they are allowed to access the Universal Service Fund, then for the first time since the Telecoms Law of 1996, that mechanism will start to work, where the levies upon operators starts to feed through to needy people or other service areas. But will you expand a little bit on what you mean? Yes, spectrum is valuable. Are you suggesting we should look at auctioning as a mechanism, which was already allowed under the old Act? Or give us some more of your thinking on how we could maximize.
Hold on. I think there's quite a few other questions. May I just put in a question also to Mr. If you look at Sensex page 13, I think this thing is really about rent and tax. And that's the heart of the issue. Now, for the GTT case tax, column that they've got there, there's a clear shortfall of 300 million rand, even though you've got indicative figures for the next 4 years.
He's offered the funds, right?
Now, exactly how is Sentex supposed to get that money? Are you expecting them to go and borrow that money?
Yeah,
or are you open to reviewing that amount? Because that's an expenditure which I think there's no dispute about. It's about digitization, and there's agreement on all sides that we have to get that money. So how will they get the 300 million? What are you proposing? And second question I have is that if you look at the broadband, you have given half a billion rand this year. It's in your budget. You've got no indicative figures for the next 3 years in terms of your NCES. Now, is this a set up as a failure? Because you're giving them a half a billion rand to start up something with no indication where the remaining 3.2 billion is going to come from. Are they going to borrow the money? Is that the mandate that National Treasury will give them? And are you working towards that? Or what else are they supposed to do? So you put out some infrastructure now to the value of half a billion in this year. And then what? It will be another failure down the road. So this is an unusual position, because surely if you are agreeing this and you are committing a half a billion rand, it's okay, there's some merit in it. There must be something that follows in the remaining years. And that's really the heart of the issue as far as I get. The rest of it, it's the politics, the rural areas, which I accept. But we can't, if I'm in a business, I can't plan on it. If I don't know what's going to happen next year.
Firstly, I would like to thank them for the presentation that you have given us. And today there is a concern. I'm having a concern. And my concern is based on the Dinaledi area. One would like to know as to whether you do have a data for the Dinaledi area. I'm asking this question because I'm coming from a deep rural area. I have been requesting for a telephone, told there is no infrastructure, that soon licenses will be released, maybe we'll have an infrastructure and then we'll have a telephone. But up to now, as you goes down, it crosses the Rain Queen area at Bulobeki Pamja. Yeah, there is an area known as Kamatipane. There is no telephone. When I'm there at the constituency having to use my cell phone, I must go somewhere next to another street and then talk from there. Communicate with a yeah, yeah, not about 150 kilometers away from Polokwane. So one would like to know as to where are these Dinalizi areas, and if there is a data about this, to check as to whether we are included. When you people talk about the lack of signals or poor signals and so on, we say
Jefferson, accepting that your 2010 is but a catalyst for the development of those that we'll be talking about. For me, it's not so much about the soccer. Every time Bafana Bafana plays, I start to cry. You know, that's why I can't understand when they draw, people ask for a national holiday. You know, after a couple of nations, they draw and everybody is happy about it. So it's not about the soccer. It's about the event is a catalyst to bring other developments to the country. SAB sits here, they know they can make all the grand plans, they can have all the money, but if there is no money to roll out the transmitters, it's meaningless. The question, the frank question I want to put to Sente, you know, we can give you all the money, we can persuade Treasury now to say give them the rest of the money, but do you have the capacity to actually spend it? Because it will be a useless exercise to give you everything you ask for, and yet you don't have the capacity, and next year or end of the year you ask for a rollover. I mean, that's I would say that's nothing short of a crime to come and ask for more money. I don't think it's great because we've never done that. You persuaded us, and we'll give you that money. We could give you that money and come back and say, but I haven't spent all the money because we don't have the capacity. Everybody has left. It's just me and the suite. So can you do that? And if you don't do that, you know, can we dismiss it? Because you didn't tell us the truth. Thank you.
It's good that you've got treasury people here, because you see, sometimes if they are not here, so that we can explain some of the developments of this ICT industry and also issues that relate to signal distribution, they might find it difficult to understand what we are talking about when they are where they are and we are where we are. Let me just start to say that, Ms. CEO, I must say that when I say some of the weaknesses that have been identified, it might even go to an extent that we were the first people in South Africa to launch the third generation technology, and it was then left to Vodacom and MTN for them to run it, the 3G. And also the my wireless. The issue that relates to whether there was no coverage or what, these are the things that we should be anticipating as an institution once we take this project, because it is a perception that I'm saying, it seems to be the treasury that these are the problems that they think that is besieging us. I'm going to take you through to the issue of the surgery that we just discussed. So, you know, it's unfortunate because you see, if treasury has to understand what has happened in the past years in terms of that. You see, firstly, in 1994 we had the first generation technology where you could have a phone in your car and you can communicate. Now that came through the global systems mobility. 1999 we had the second generation technology, 2G, in which then you had a text, you can do this, and that was done by Vodacom, MTN, LDLISA. Now in the past 5 years, we then have the third generation technology. Now that's coupled with the high-speed digital packet access, HSDBA, that appears on a cell phone there. Now these are the developmental things that has been happening. Now we are in a converged environment. That's as far as telecommunications is concerned, and that's where the issue of other institutions come now. As far as it relates to where we are dealing with NotChat, analog system, we have now had to move into satellite system, digital satellite system, and in some cases we've got a situation where in India and China, they are using the code division multiple access, the CDMA, for using both broadcasting and also communication. Now this is what some of the users also want to use. Now it is this dynamic development program that has been moving and changing the environment, dictating even Centec to try and see how they could position themselves digitally to move with the times as we go ahead. Now this Centec, they then dictate for them to then even see if they can't get money to us. So that the digital terrestrial television deficit is what MNET is using. You see, terrestrial is just another word for ground. It means that instead of having an analog system or satellite, now you've got a system that is terrestrial, that is digital, but it's terrestrial. It can move through the mountains, through the valleys, everywhere where your analog system cannot operate. You see, and your satellite is the one that can do, because you uplink and I can give an example of how SABC and DSTV do it. SABC take their signal right to the door of and multi-tribe. They then uplink it from that. Uplink it up in terms of those big satellites at Randberg, then downlink it up to the people. That's what is happening. Now, what you're going to have at that point in time, the 1st of November, you'd have both analog and digital moving at the same time. Now, this is a costly exercise. Now, if you give them 500 million and you don't follow up quickly, it then says that the money will just, they will just use it that from, they will not be able to reach their target. Now, that's where we are. And this is the issue that we are happy to hear that. There's a commitment to intend to discuss it, that, but we are also prepared to assist with the judicial legislation. Now, I'll tell you the reason why the 3AU are giving examples becomes irrelevant is because Centec is we have now bound SABC and ETV and some of them to Centec. So any delay, any problem, it affects them. You see, unless if we want to liberalize the signal distribution, say, look, let Centec be privatized, let it compete with Educom and everybody, SABC and ETV are not forced to operate within the Centec, what is it called, system in terms of the signal distribution. Now, Schedule 3B, it says it's an entity that can borrow money or guarantee or indemnity or security at any point in time. Now, in an event that they can't pay, that then the institution has to take responsibility or revenue. Now, Schedule 2B is an entity that can borrow money, guarantee, or indemnity, or security, or enter into any transaction that binds or may bind that institution. And once they do that, it should be authorized by a notice in the National Government Gazette by the Minister of Finance and subject to any conditions that he may impose. Now, the reason we've got this one is because there's this issue that they can't, Centec can't borrow money and get guarantees, because even their own, as we are told, their own liquidity is not more than a billion. So why would you want to risk by making them to borrow money when actually their EBITDA is even less than a billion? That's the issue. This is the issue that are coming up. Now, the 3A that you are talking about, they become irrelevant because, yes, you are dealing with an institution that continuously facing rapid changes and developmental programs every day as we are talking. As we are talking now, we have been moved now from the 3G and the HSPD. We are now talking the next generation services. You see, next generation network services. And there was a conference in Malaysia, in Mauritius, 2 or 3 months ago, let's not say October, where everybody converged to come and discuss about where are we going from here. Now, this is the challenge that we have. You know, speaking now on behalf of Centec, with all the problems that I've indicated to you to them, which we also blame them for some of the things, we're not necessarily representing them yet. So we hope that as you meet the DOC, Treasury, and Centec, you understand the point that we are coming from. And I don't have to be an engineer, electronic engineer, to show you this thing. These are the things that come from the Polokwane Conference. Thanks, Jay.
No, the rural politics, what we are saying, the first million, 500 million, that's the rural politics, because that has an impact on the rural area. I'm a rural poet, I remember. I'm not intending to move there, but I intend to
move
there. You see, Chair Mankuna has just said something very interesting. You see, the survey, sometimes I respect those people who conduct it. But you see, I don't conduct them. I leave the hardship of the rural area, where people must go somewhere to receive treatment, even today. If you can take any person to those people who can just say, hey, your life has improved, and the survey is saying, you are receiving now, we are on the mainstream, they will be caught for the past 14, 13 years old, or they never see any improvement at all. For them, the business as usual, not unusual, as the president has said before. Now, sir, all what I'm saying is that maybe Mankuna, you must take them to your area, or also take them to my area, so that they see the particular challenges. The other issue, my area, I've got my area and my constituency. My constituency and my area are two different areas. So I can take you to both, and then you see. The area, my constituency is the former Lighting Belt Partition. You've got an area there which is called the Dry Grass, Shaha, and other areas. Where for them, if they want to phone, they must go to a police station. With that police station far away from them, by the time they are there, the farmer who has assaulted them has already been in the police station opening the case against them. When they arrive, they lock them up because already they are That's what I'm talking about, when they can't phone those people. That's the hardship they are facing. But the issue which I'm trying to go at is that the DOC on their response, they say they are engaging on issues. Witness and threats. You see, Chao, I won't like this time to talk general. If they are doing so, how long are we going to do that? When are we going to see results? Because see, they have been ongoing from 2003, as we have seen in terms of the business plan for Centec and so on. This has been going on, but there has been no substantial results around the issue. If you are engaged in DOC and National President Centec, when are we going to see those results? Because now it's time for delivery, not time for engagement. We have been engaging too long, in my view. We have been engaging too long. Now we want to see the fruit of those engagements, not to continue engaging. So I'll be interested to know what direction, what are the timelines and so on. But I still sense what I said. If it's difficult for them, we have to summon the minister to come before us so that they clarify us about this mandate that we're supposed to pay, so that we take this metaphor.
This will be the last round. I think we are finished now with questions.
Yeah.
We want to wrap up the session because we've got a closed session on security issues. So it's already 25-2. Can we send out 10 minutes for responses and then we can go into the next session?
What is the next
coming
in? Security.
In terms of a meeting that we had at Treasury on the 16th of January, when a Treasury official actually indicated that he'd for years been trying to actually understand the role that Centec expects to play in this particular field. The question that I asked is, would it not have been appropriate if it was clear that it wasn't going through to the particular Centec officials dealing with Treasury, because the board would surely not have allowed these the business plans to go ahead all the time, with the fact that it was a lack of understanding in terms of what we were trying to do. So the question that I have is, would it not perhaps have been appropriate to alert the board to this, or to alert the minister to the question in relation to that? It may well have assisted. The other thing that was a surprise to me is that there was no knowledge in Treasury about the 80 little report, which was fundamental to all these changes. And my understanding is that it was quite widely debated in terms of would it be the telecom legislation in terms of licensing centric in respect of the board there. So I point that up just as difficulty. We on the centric board, I think, have taken comfort from the fact that highly qualified and renowned consultants and actually looked through the business plans that we have with it. Each have given a full stamp of approval, including a banking institution, when we looked at the VITT alternative. I also have an appreciation that if government felt that as a strategic asset, one shouldn't be involved in a VITT operation, it actually took over 3 years for that to be turned down. And I think it's the most precious to repeat the fact that in that area there are commercial opportunities and the licensing law. There's been some comments about the question of the DTT, and I think in respect to that it should be put on the table as well today, that the question of double illumination has a huge cost, and I think it's something in the order of 900 million.
It's another building.
And there's been no decision as to how that will be funded. And that will be coming to us as a problem quite soon. So it's not a problem that Centec can actually resolve. Going on, perhaps suggestions that regarding the governance and the like, despite of all these difficulties that the Centec has had, there's been no qualified orders at all. I think what the company has done on a regular basis in terms of letters to our department, to comments made in the report, that the great concern about the system of centers has been under threat for some time, and I think that management has been quite remarkable in actually getting us through that. Whether the main concern about is whether we'll still be able to go forward with the concerns of policy without that being qualified is something that we'll just have to wait and see. I think that in terms of the funding for DTT, which has been awarded so far, usually not that an indication of some confidence that they have the funding to deliver in terms of this project. And I think that I'm finally asked the CEO just to partially answer the question in terms of delivery for DTT, because the phase situation which I think she can expose in the meeting. For the rest, Chair, I think that it's been very good for us to have had this this meeting today. I think it clears the air in respect of a lot of things. I'd also like to say that Treasury has any guidelines and suggestions to the Centec in terms of going forward to speed up processes.
Something that we would be appreciative of. Thank you. Yes. Just want to talk. May I just present?
Okay.
There was a question raised about the Dinalidi School. We do have a list of where they are, and we have a team currently doing site service to have a sense of location and what else is around them and all of that. And that is the dual team is working on that. in terms of DTT, we have gone quite a ways. Phase one and two extensively to take care of the students. We have to, take care of the, electrical work and, just a whole bunch of other things before you actually install the digital transmitter. So that has been done. We've actually moved forward some of the projects because we are running ahead, just waiting for the money to come in so we can proceed. So, we're quite satisfied that we will have no difficulties in, in that regard, except for the issue of the shortfall that we have talked about. I just wanted to raise the issue of Stentech and perhaps bringing other doctors in our services. It's a policy issue. I don't think, this is really, the time to deal with that. But what we have said is if you do open it up and, clearly government has, can do this, you need to understand that in a competitive environment, we'll all be competing in a major city. Nobody's going to be going to all of the rural areas because it's costly, it's far away and all of that. And so that was the reason for a center, to ensure that we offer services to licensed broadcasters wherever they are. We could not say to the regulator, we're unable to because it's too expensive to go to Springbok or Fofana or whatever it is. It has to be technically impossible for us to provide a service for us to be able to get away with it, otherwise we could. So there are a lot of issues around the provision of the infrastructure for broadcasting. In terms of convergence and Stentech and multimedia, the issue is that there's no going back. With a digital environment, I mean, this is the 21st century, with a digital infrastructure we're putting into place, you can do interactive services, you can do, access the internet, and just do a whole lot of things that indeed are needed. And it also means that people in rural areas will indeed begin to have infrastructure to be able to access certain services that are currently not able to access because of lack of resources or computers or whatever. It opens a whole new world. And so to still try and separate broadcast signal distribution from communications, it's like trying to get the water out of the milk or whatever it is. I mean, you can't really do that in a digital environment, which is internet protocol compliant. And, the infrastructure we're putting into place is exactly that. So it offers enormous, enormous opportunities.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. And honorable member. Yeah, I would just like to quickly respond to the issue of the business plan and the challenges which have been encountered. Actually, one of the committee members has highlighted the risk about the business plan as to where you find that there are no guarantees relating, for instance, to the uptake provinces and other sectors of the economy. So these have been the things which, even from us at Treasure, when we evaluated the draft, we find that there were a lot of gaps, and then when we tried to engage on those issues, we couldn't reach a consensus.
Yeah.
Of which
yeah,
I think that as the Department of Communications has highlighted that we will continue to engage and be able to satisfy on that one. And then the other comment on the funding issues, Treasury highlighted to both Stentech and the Department of Communications that there should be extensive engagement on the various funding sources, rather than like, let's say, for instance, people preempting that Treasury will the taxpayer should put the bill. But we should explore all areas, like all various sources, either loan, finance, fiscals, or a combination of both. So those are the things which I think that the three parties, that is Treasury and the DOC and Stentech, to better engage upon. And then on the part of the Dinaledi schools, there are still some problems there. Because at the present moment, from us at Treasure, the way we look at the issue on the education sector, we concluded that a type of mandate or engagement should come from the Department of Education, which has to guide us about who are the Dinaledi schools, where are they based, what do they need, and all things like that, instead of the DOC. But at the present moment, like for instance now, when I can ask a simple question, because our impression when we give, we allocated that half a billion, it was not sure to go into Dinarede schools. So automatically, like from now, when I leave this place, I have to engage you, Mr. Dorazel, again, and say that I'm not sure exactly what do they mean by that. What are they going to do with that 500 million? Is it also going to benefit the rural poor or Dinarede schools within the urbanized areas or whatsoever? So automatically, Chair, there are a number of challenges which the Department of Communication should lay the roadmap or the guiding framework, which will show how this whole thing is going to unfold. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There were a few specific questions. First, the question about what trade view is on the spectrum that will be available in due course and the leveraging of that resource. We do not have any particular view at this stage. That's an issue of which the DFC, of course, will also have a substantial amount to say, and so we would not want to preempt based on which route we go here. There are different approaches that have been taken in different countries. We would have to think particularly about that. Now, the question of the financing shortfall here in relation to both the digitization project and the MTEC multimedia program. The important point that I want to say, as Ronald has partly addressed it, is that both of these programs involve financing issues that are much broader than just MTEC. There is MTEC's requirements, and then in respect of the multimedia program focused on rural communities and broadening access, there are the costs to education departments, to the health departments, to municipalities, and to other users. And we need to recognize here that progress over time in access to computers is really the binding.
That's right.
And that has not yet been analyzed.
And your monthly fees.
And so we don't yet have any analysis that gives us sense of the affordability over time to households of accessing broadband wireless services. And so that is a critical bit of analytical work that needs to be in place before we can address the full funding of this program. Similarly, in respect of the digitization initiative, there is billion rand associated with the dual illumination that has still to be addressed. That is partly about Femtex financing requirements, and it is partly about how costs are to be passed on to broadcasters, because of course Femtex service is an intermediate good in the broadcasting value chain, and we do not yet have an analysis over time of the additional revenue associated with the quality improvement in broadcasting and the expansion of broadcasting services associated with digitization. In addition to that, there's work in progress, and this is currently underway, in respect of the particular opportunity that South Africa has to transmit signal during the 2010 Soccer World Cup. We have put aside some funding that has gone to Femtex for the next 2 years for investments associated with the provision of digital transmission to FIFA. Of course, it is FIFA that is the major beneficiary of that broadcasting opportunity. We are simply service providers, but nonetheless, as service providers, we have to be remunerated for that service, and the revenue associated with that has still to be determined and to come into the picture. But once again, in respect of digitization, the major cost is to consumers. The major cost for which planning has to be provided, and for which we understand, but we have not yet seen these plans, we understand that there will be a proposal for some sort of incentive or subsidy arrangement. And that is the issue, that is the plan that the Minister of Finance is waiting for in respect to the digitalization. Thank you very much, Sir President. Maybe I'll start with the digitization. To start off by saying, I'm sure we won't be able to finish it today. Suffice to say that the chairperson of Digital Zonga, a body that was established by the Minister to oversee the transition, will be addressing this committee next Tuesday. And I'm sure at that forum, a host of issues would be addressed and put on the table. Most of the work that Andrew just touched on, the work of subsidizing set-top boxes, of local content, and a host of other issues, I think, in this year's POA, Program of Action of Government, as I said, adopted by the economic cluster, and hopefully we should be able to shed more light when we meet with you on Tuesday. But I must add that switch-on date being 1st November this year, switch-off date 20 November 2011, again, that more light will be shed as to exactly what do we mean by switch-off date, what are you intending to see and not to see by switch-on date, and the impression might be created that when we say switch-on 1 November 2008, people will be receiving digital signals, but again, that would be hopefully cleared by the chairperson and of course ourselves of Digital Zonga.
Well, that depends whether you've got a policy ready, so we can have set on boxes.
The
policy
is ready. We did present it to you.
Yes.
The policy is ready. On Dinaledi, I have touched on Dinaledi. I have alluded to the fact that we work together with other government departments in the ICES sector, information society, and development sector. Our role in that, as DOC, is to provide connectivity through entities like Centec and other state entities. That's the role of the DOC. The providing content in other areas would come from associated departments. Department of Education, we work very, very closely with them. They take part. Actually, the DG of Education heads the education component of this project, of the Dinaledi project. The DG of Health heads the health component of the Dinaledi. The DG of DTI heads that component. So I really would like to reiterate that it is not as though the DOC is asking Centec to provide infrastructure and the other departments are not coming in. They take a positive role in the work that we do. And in fact, there was a cluster meeting yesterday. And again, if we would come back and provide more information to the committee in this matter. Again, I think that answers the question of access of uptake. The CEO has spoken to the work that we're doing with the post office to really roll out what we call Tucson post offices, where I think she described it well. It's like a mini internet cafe where people will come in, working together with other departments, access other government other government services such as IDs and all of that, again working together with the Department of Home Affairs. So that for me would begin to address the issues of uptake and access. With regard to the balance of the funding of the billion, particularly the CAPEX one, I have indicated that we work very closely. It is about 650 million has been allocated. We have two more processes, MTF processes, one commencing this year, and one this year and one next year. It still gives us enough leverage to begin to work together with Treasury and make sure that that funding is secure. Whether we secure that funding via loan funding, whether you secure it via the fiscal, I think it's a matter that will be determined in touch. I think
colleagues that will get to it, the balances of centers in part, but much more importantly, what is it that you want to do with it, you know, and of course it's associated risk, if you like. So in a nutshell, Chairperson, and maybe in conclusion, is that I'm sorry, Honorable Eric, I'm not able to tell you to say when. Hopefully very soon we'll come back to you and say. And of course, this is part of the challenge that the entity has been living with. We're not able to precisely say by next week, Wednesday, or by June, or by August, we'll give you a couple of answers. What maybe I can commit is that hopefully by the time we conclude this NTS period, we should, at the very least, have answers as to how we fund this entity. I think that if you could ask us to commit, I would commit that on my part, and I'm sure Taylor would commit that much. We'll have a little bit. Thanks.
General type of conclusion is not that simple. I'm absolutely clear. I have listened to Mr. Donaldson very carefully. He is saying that the business plans that have been provided to date are not up to scratch for them to cover money. That's what he's getting at. You are saying that you've got the DG of Home Affairs and the DG of Education on the budget here. When are you taking the responsibility for the presentation of the business plan? That they can look at it, assess it, and commit funding. Somebody has to take responsibility. Otherwise, 3 years from now, we'll come back and say, we didn't get the money, we don't know what the problem is, treasury. Who's taking responsibility here? Is it you or is it Centre? Because I'm very clear about one thing. The minister is asking for the budget speech, her budget speech, to be before the 17th of May. We are going to call you before the 17th of May because we are not going into this debate with the vagueness that I actually see today now. I thought that this meeting might well clarify. But I don't think we can conclude on the vague note that you are putting forward here. We will see in the end of this NTS time cycle, 3 years, we might be able to answer Mr. Polwani's question about programming. I don't think we can go from this. So where does the responsibility stop?
Chairperson, the bringing in the DG of Home Affairs of DTI was to answer the question that says DOC provides the connectivity, and I think it was in response to my colleague from Treasury to say they see this as a role of education, and my response is yes, it is a role of education to provide the content. Our role to provide the connectivity, and in this instance, we look up to CENTEC to do that work. So I was in essence, and I actually alluded further that you also have the health, which would connect, provide content for health facilities, the post offices, you've got the Home Affairs to do that. So I was answering that question. In saying when would we conclude, when the money is required, Honorable Eric had asked us a question to say, when do you think we will give him an answer to say when the funding, the balance of DTT will be available, the CAPEX and double illumination, where will the funding of the wireless broadband network will be made available to CAPEX. And I thought when I started, I had given some indication on the process we've traveled thus far in trying to...
That's the problem we had. Your process is 5 years. And we don't have any conclusion. So can you tell me 6 months, 3 months, 4 weeks? When do we begin to get some sort of certainty and closure? I can't give you an unlimited mandate of 3 years.
Chairperson, my response was saying that we would commit that by the time the MTF process concludes this year, that's the process in the PFMA, that you have to do certain things. We take responsibility for the business plan. That is a process. You can't but avoid that process. So by the time it concludes in this financial year, we will then be able to give you a sense of how we're going to fund the balance of Centec and everything else. But I think, Chairperson, this, and I ask this hour to take this, also in light of the presentation that I've made earlier, that it is a collective government that we say we want to deliver all the mandate of this entity and all the mandate of government and work together. The Chairperson has raised the question of when issue arises, they need to be raised. They need to be raised timeously. They need to be directed to the relevant people. And in doing that, therefore, we're able to address issues as they arise, not address issues at the tail end of the process. If there are issues, and I've listened carefully, I've taken notes, we'll go back and begin to say, how do we factor in some of the challenges that Centec has not been able to be funded. So in short, I'm saying, we would work together, work within the processes, we work within the legislative parameters of the PFMA, and of course, we would work together with Nishab Shingar to ensure that we finalize this matter.
Yeah. Can I add something to Harry? It says education and health are not required only to provide what you call content. I think what needs to be demonstrated before one can be persuaded there's a business plan is that they or someone will be installing the computers or the terminals in clinics or whatever, and that somebody is going to pay the however many hundreds of thousands of rands per month it will cost to receive your service. Right. I mean, that's health, that's education. And one presumably needs to see that in black on white in their strategic plans, coming through in their budget plans, before the Treasury is going to be convinced that there is actually a thing here that's going to work. And then the other thing is the department as clients, government itself as a client. If you can find some sort of way to put that down black on white, then we know we've got a potentially going concern here. But just as a last note, I mean, we have a real breakthrough here on the DGP, in as much as Centec has borrowing powers if both ministers will sign, finance and communications. And Treasury has offered here today to facilitate a long-term loan for the shortfall of 300 million. In other words, Treasury will finance if all things are in place. And that is what Mr. Matabazi has taken up now with his own minister. So that finance, and our CEO, Sebeleto Mokone, indicated that she welcomed that development and would be happy to talk. So there is some progress there. But the immediate problem of the shortfall of 300 million. And the Treasury has now indicated that it has some other questions that need answered before the other billion will be available for the dual illumination. And I think we haven't got those answers yet either, Harry, with respect. We had a sort of a provisional policy put before us, but nobody knows what's going to happen with the subsidization of set-top boxes. I thought it was going to cabinet months ago. It hasn't been there yet.
Can I make a suggestion which I want you to consider, that we call in this team in Mayor Hill for services department. I really don't want to leave this in the chat.
Mm.
So in May, we find the critical state in the government. But we want to get a progressive report. We call in by national pressure to see whether there's some issue, is there cooperation, are they working together? Are there attempts to get the business plan on the table? What is the difficulty? We will call them in the beginning of the next session. Is that agreed? Thank you very much. I think we can have a short break. No, let us have a short break. I know that people are really now going to be rushing for flights. Let me just check. Send us if you could come back to us with the